So imagine you're spending, I don't know, like 4 days just wrestling with an AI prompt.
Oh, yeah, we've all been there.
Right. You're tweaking the genre tags, you're adjusting the mood parameters, generating just dozens and dozens of variations.
Burning through your credits.
Exactly. And then finally, you hit it. You generate this absolute masterpiece on Suno or Udio.
This best feeling in the world.
It really is. I mean, the drop is massive, the vocals are haunting, it's perfect. So you confidently export it, you upload it to a distributor like DistroKid, dreaming of those algorithmic Spotify playlists.
And then reality hits.
Yeah. Within like 3 seconds, your inbox pings, takedown notice, account flagged for AI-generated content.
It's brutal.
That 3-second automated rejection is just a soul-crushing reality that's destroying indie creators right now.
It really is the elephant in the room for AI music.
Yep. And if you are listening to this, especially those of you in the popular atools.ai community who are really pushing the boundaries of AI audio, you know the exact frustration I'm talking about.
Oh, they know it intimately.
But today, we are looking at a stack of sources, specs, and some really interesting data from a platform called undetectr.com. They claim to be the world's first AI music artifact removal engine.
Which is a huge claim.
Right. Their promise is pretty wild. They say they can take any AI audio file and make it, well, mathematically invisible to the detection algorithms.
Yeah, it is an incredibly bold claim to make. I mean, we are talking about taking audio that is fundamentally synthetic, right? And stripping away every single digital fingerprint.
Without ruining the song.
Exactly. Keeping the actual song totally intact. If the technology functions the way these technical sheets describe, I mean, it completely reshapes the landscape for independent creators.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to really grasp how Undetectr is solving this rejection problem, we kind of have to start with the failure point.
Makes sense.
Like, why is that incredible Suno track getting flagged in the first place? Because to my ears, or your ears, it sounds like a human being recorded it in a studio.
Well, the key phrase right there is to our ears. We process the emotional content of the music, you know, the melody, the rhythm, the lyrics, the vibe.
Right, the stuff that makes it a good song.
Exactly. But a detection algorithm doesn't care about any of that. It is scanning the actual file for microscopic anomalies.
Microscopic.
Yeah, every AI audio generator leaves behind these unique traces. I think, honestly, the best way to understand this is to look at how Undetectr's six-layer artifact removal engine actually works.
The documentation mentions it runs entirely in your browser, right?
Yeah, right in the browser, in under 60 seconds, it targets these anomalies directly.
So it's basically scanning for digital fingerprints.
Precisely.
I kind of picture it like digital carbon dating. Just like scientists can look at the isotopes in a rock to see how old it is, the detector is looking at the audio frequencies to see if the track was, I don't know, born in a server farm rather than a recording studio.
That is a brilliant analogy, really. And the first layer of Undetectr's engine tackles exactly that, which is the spectral domain.
Okay, the spectral domain. Break that down.
So when a neural network synthesizes audio, it doesn't generate frequencies the organic way, like a physical guitar string does.
Right, because there's no physical string.
Exactly. So it leaves behind these unique frequency domain signatures. It's almost like a persistent watermark embedded within the frequency spectrum itself.
Wow.
Yeah. So Undetectr's algorithm identifies those specific unnatural frequency clusters and essentially smooths them out.
Making sure the high end doesn't just scream, a computer drew this sound wave.
Right, exactly. But the spectral smoothing is really just the foundation. The second layer is where the mechanics get really interesting.
Okay, what's layer two?
It targets the temporal domain.
I mean.
Yep. When an AI generates a beat, the timing grid can be unnaturally rigid, or conversely, it can have this weird algorithmic jitter that just doesn't sound human.
Because human musicians have micro imperfections.
Always. A real drummer might rush a drum fill slightly or, you know, drag just a few milliseconds behind the snare to create a certain groove.
Playing in the pocket. You can't just randomize a drum beat to make it sound human. That just makes it sound sloppy.
Exactly. It just seems like a bad drummer. It requires an understanding of groove. So the temporal pattern normalization in this engine doesn't just randomize the transients.
What does it do?
It introduces a highly sophisticated micro swing. It actually adjusts the placement of those beats on a microscopic level.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah, it introduces this human-like latency that detectors register as an organic performance rather than an irregular but like mathematically sterile AI grid.
Okay, so you fix the frequencies and you humanize the rhythm.
Yep.
But one thing I notice with a lot of raw AI tracks is that they sound kind of flat.
Yes, that's...
Like the audio feels like it's pressed up against the glass.
Mm-hmm.
Is the detector looking for that flat spatial footprint too?
It absolutely is. And AI synthesis engines notoriously struggle with rendering realistic acoustic space.
So they can't fake a real room.
Not very well. Which brings us to the third and fourth layers of the engine, which are dynamics and stereo imaging.
Okay, let's start with dynamics.
For the dynamics, the engine reshapes the envelope. Think of the dynamic envelope as how the volume of a sound breathes over microinterval.
Breathes.
Yeah, AI audio often has a very static breath. It doesn't undulate naturally. Undetector actually modifies that envelope to match natural human-produced audio profiles.
Got it. And the stereo imaging, is it literally rebuilding the acoustic space of the track?
It is basically correcting the anomalies. See, AI models often create weird phasing issues or unnaturally wide or narrow stereo fields.
Because they're just guessing at how sound bounces around a room.
Exactly. They don't actually know what a room is. Mm. So the engine centers the core elements and naturalizes the width. So the spatial footprint mimics a genuine mix.
Okay, I'm tracking with the audio fixes. But I saw something in the source material about metadata.
Oh, yeah. The metadata is huge.
Because even if you fix the audio itself, isn't the file literally tagged by the platform?
This is the fifth layer, and honestly, it's arguably the most critical for getting past a distributor like DistroKid. AI platforms embed data straight into the file's code. You have Synthety watermarks, which are proprietary to Google and DeepMind.
Mm-hmm.
You have C2PA manifests.
Wait, let me stop you there for a second.
Sure.
For the listener who isn't a software engineer, what exactly is a C2PA manifest?
Think of a C2PA manifest as a digital nutrition label attached to the file.
A nutrition label. Okay.
Yeah. It tells anyone who looks at it the exact ingredients, what software created it, what time it was rendered, and critically, whether AI was used.
Oh, wow.
It's an open standard for content provenance. And on top of that, platforms leave model hashes like a tag reading Suno V4.2.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. Or even explicit metadata tags that literally just say a created true.
Wow. So it's a nutrition label that essentially says 100% artificial.
Exactly.
No wonder the distributors are catching it in 3 seconds.
Right. So the metadata sanitization layer of Undetector strips all of that completely clean. It leaves zero trace of the platform's embedded code.
Okay. But this raises a massive red flag for me.
Let's hear it.
If this six-layer engine is aggressively changing the frequencies, the dynamic envelope, the stereo width, and the timing of my track, doesn't that ruin the song?
That's the logical concern, yeah.
Because I just spent 4 days getting the drop to sound perfect. I don't want an algorithm messing it up.
What's fascinating here is how the engine targets its processing. The entire procedure is designed to be completely lossless and inaudible to human hearing.
Inaudible. Really?
Truly. It operates entirely below the threshold of our perception. It only alters the specific microscopic signal ranges that detection algorithms scan for.
Okay, so if we go back to a poker analogy, the AI track sounds incredible, right? It's holding a royal flush.
Yep.
But mathematically, it has a tell. It's sweating. It's blinking a little too fast.
Good analogy.
So Undetector isn't changing the cards in the hand. It's just giving the track a mathematical poker face.
That captures the mechanism perfectly. To you and me, the song hits just as hard. But to the algorithmic scanner at the distribution gate, the spectrogram is clean, the tell is gone.
All right, so the fingerprints are scrubbed, the digital nutrition label is blank, the poker face gets you past the algorithmic scanner.
You're in.
But here's the reality of the music industry. Sneaking past the security guard at the door is only half the battle. You still need to sound professional when you actually get inside the club.
Absolutely.
And platforms like Spotify, Apple Music, and Tidal have incredibly strict, demanding audio standards.
They demand a very specific level of polish. And this is where the Undetector documentation shows a transition from just, you know, passing the test to actually optimizing the product.
Right.
They include a feature called distributor-aware AI mastering.
I want to dig into that because distributor-aware is a very specific phrasing.
It is.
Why not just use any of the dozens of AI mastering tools already out there?
Well, standard mastering tools, even the very expensive high-end ones, operate in a vacuum.
Meaning what?
They don't know what distributors are actively scanning for regarding AI artifacts. Mm-hmm. Their only job is to make the track loud, wide, and punchy. Undetector's mastering engine is built to integrate with the artifact removal. It cleans the track while simultaneously mastering it to the exact specifications of the platform you intend to release on.
Wait, so let me make sure I'm translating this workflow correctly for the listener.
Go for it.
Traditionally, if I'm an indie producer, I export my raw file from Suno. Then I have to run it through some sort of cleaner script to strip the AI tags.
Yep.
Then I pull that file into a digital audio workstation like Ableton or Logic. Then I apply EQ. Then I put a limiter on the master bus. And then I cross my fingers and hope I hit the right loudness penalty target for Spotify.
It's exhausting just hearing you list it all out.
Right. So are you saying this platform condenses that entire process?
Right.
Wait, so instead of using three different tools to clean, EQ, and limit my track, I just pick a target platform like Apple Music from a dropdown, and it spits out the perfect file.
The documentation outlines a single-click process. You literally choose your target platform from a dropdown menu, and it automatically handles the loudness normalization.
That's wild.
Every streaming service has a specific LUFS target. LUFS stands for loudness units relative to full scale. It's how we measure perceived loudness over the duration of a song.
If you get the LUFS wrong, the platform punishes you, right?
Severely. If your track is mastered too loud, say, at -8 LUFS when Spotify wants -14, Spotify's algorithm forcefully turns your track down.
Ouch.
Yeah, this crushes your dynamics and makes your song sound completely lifeless compared to everything else on the playlist.
And if you master too quiet.
You sound wink and amateurish next to the preceding track. Undetector targets the exact LUFS requirement of the destination platform automatically.
Because nobody wants to be the quiet track on the playlist.
It's the fastest way to get a listener to hit skip.
Yeah.
But the engine goes deeper than just overall volume. It applies true peak limiting.
True peak. That's a tricky one.
It is a highly technical hurdle that trips up a lot of independent producers. When streaming platforms compress your pristine WAV file into an MP3 or AAC file for streaming, the conversion process can create what are called intersample peaks.
Hidden volume spikes.
Exactly. Well, more accurately, they are spikes that exist between the digital samples, which push the analog signal above the distortion threshold.
So your meter looks fine, but the audio isn't.
Your digital meter might say you are totally safe, but the listener hears a crackling distortion in their earbuds.
The worst.
The true peak limiter calculates and prevents that transcode distortion before it ever happens.
That is a massive headache saver. I know veteran producers who have spent years just trying to fully grasp true peak limits and transcode clipping.
Add to that the multiband EQ balancing. This ensures the heavy synth bass from your audio generation doesn't muddy up the mid-range vocals.
So it separates the frequencies.
Right. It carves out space dynamically, so the track translates well across everything from high-end studio monitors to, you know, a cheap Bluetooth speaker.
Crucial for Spotify listeners.
Exactly. And it applies dynamic range preservation, so it doesn't just crush your mix into a brick wall of sound.
Which brings up a great point, really. If we look at the reality of why tracks get rejected by distributors, it's not just because of AI detection.
Oh, absolutely not.
Distributors will gladly reject a 100% human-made track if the metadata is broken or if the mastering is completely out of spec.
The platforms are acting as quality control. They reject submissions constantly for bad ISRC tracking codes, missing UPC tags, or just terrible audio fidelity.
Right.
By sanitizing the metadata and optimizing the audio to platform standards simultaneously, Undetector is treating the raw AI generation with the same professional engineering rigor used in a high-end mastering house.
Okay, so we've solved the end of the pipeline.
Yep, the finish line is clear.
The track is scrubbed of its AI fingerprints. It has the mathematical poker face. It's perfectly mastered to Spotify's LUFS targets, and it's securely distributed.
Sounds pretty good.
But let's back up to the bottleneck, because producing high volumes of AI music still requires you to actually create the raw material.
Yes, the hard part.
And getting the exact sound you want out of these generative models is an incredibly frustrating process.
It is the defining struggle for creators right now. It is a tedious, hours-long process of trial and error.
Oh, man, don't I know it.
You are essentially typing adjectives into a text box, desperately hoping the neural network understands what you mean by moody, synth-heavy, 80s retrowave with a driving bass line and ethereal vocal.
But half the time, it gives you polka.
Exactly. It's a guessing game.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting. Undetector has a feature built into their ecosystem exclusively for their lifetime members called Sound Match.
This is a game changer.
And looking at how this is described in the sources, it's basically like Shazam meets a prompt engineer.
The workflow is honestly fascinating. You simply input the name of any real song and artist.
Any song.
Any song. Let's say you are obsessed with the exact sonic texture of a specific Billboard Top 10 pop hit or the gritty warmth of a classic 70s rock anthem.
Okay.
The SoundMatch AI analyzes that reference track. It reverse engineers the composition. Oh. It identifies the precise genre tags, the tempo, the key signature, the dominant mood, the specific instrumentation, the vocal delivery style, and the era influences.
And then it just hands you the prompt.
It synthesizes all of that deep acoustic analysis and outputs ready to use highly optimized prompts formatted specifically for Suno, Udio, and 11 Labs music.
So you just copy-paste?
You copy the prompt, paste it into your generator, and the AI outputs a track that captures that exact same sonic architecture.
Okay, I have to push back on this. I really do.
I figured you might.
If you are feeding a famous copyrighted song into an analyzer, and the tool is writing a prompt to recreate that exact vibe.
Yeah.
Aren't we just automating plagiarism? Where is the art in that?
It is a vital question, and it speaks to the evolving definition of artistry. But consider the alternative perspective.
I'm listening.
Think of SoundMatch like the art of sampling in the 1990s hip-hop scene. It isn't copying the melody or stealing the lyrics or directly ripping the audio file.
So it's not a one-to-one clone.
No, it is translating the vibe, the tempo, the historical era, the instrumental palette into text.
So it's less about stealing a song and more about stealing the acoustic blueprint of the room that song was recorded in.
That is the core of it. It shifts the producer's role. Right now, indie producers waste huge amounts of time playing that guessing game we talked about.
Right, throwing adjectives at the wall.
They act as clumsy translators between their own imagination and the machine's programming. SoundMatch changes your role from a guesser to a curator.
A curator, I like that.
You start with a highly accurate, musically coherent foundation, and then you curate, modify, and refine the prompt to make it your own.
That makes a lot of sense.
Plus, if you don't want to use a reference track at all, the platform includes a vault of over 100 tested, pre-engineered AI music prompts just for pure inspiration.
Oh, that's a nice bonus. But really, the overarching theme here is speed.
Absolutely.
It's about removing friction. And when you remove the friction of guessing prompts, your output explodes, which explains why the sources highlight a tool called the Suno Bulk Downloader as part of the package.
The Bulk Downloader is the necessary bridge in this whole workflow.
How so?
Well, if you are using SoundMatch to dial in the perfect prompt, you aren't just generating one track. You are generating 50 variations to find the absolute best vocal take or, you know, the perfect guitar solo.
Oh, right. Because you're scaling up.
Exactly. Manually downloading, cleaning, and mastering 50 tracks one by one would take days. The Bulk Downloader allows the workflow to actually scale.
And scale is the critical word here because you have the prompts, you have the Bulk Downloader, you have the 6-layer artifact cleaner, and you have the distributor aware master.
The whole ecosystem.
Yeah. So the final question for you, listener, is what is the actual financial upside of producing this kind of volume?
And the sources include a very detailed breakdown from their AI music earnings calculator, which sheds a lot of light on the realities of streaming economics.
Let's hear the numbers.
They use the average per stream royalty rates projected for 2026. For a platform like Spotify, it's hovering around 0.004 cells per stream.
Okay.
For Apple Music, it's slightly higher at about 6.0008 per stream.
Fractions of a penny. I mean, whenever independent artists hear those numbers, it sounds so incredibly discouraging.
It is discouraging if your workflow only allows you to release one meticulously crafted song every 6 months.
Right.
But again, the engine we are discussing enables volume. And to truly understand the return on investment, we have to look at Undetector's pricing model.
Right. And this is the major hook of the entire platform. Undetector is offering a one-time payment of 39 euros.
Which is incredibly low for mastering software alone, let alone the rest of it.
Seriously. That's their founder pricing, which knocks 60 euros off the standard retail price. And the source material is very explicit about this structure. There are absolutely no subscriptions.
No monthly fees.
None. No recurring fees. No credit limits or token systems. You pay 39 euros once. You can process an unlimited number of tracks forever. And you keep 100% of your streaming royalties.
So let's run the math on that investment.
Okay, let's do it.
If you put down 39 euros, which translates to roughly 42 US dollars, and we apply their blended streaming royalty rates,
Yep.
the break-even point is surprisingly accessible. According to the calculator data, a creator only needs to generate 8,211 streams across all platforms combined to entirely pay off the software.
8,000 streams.
Yeah.
Just 8,000.
That's it.
In the context of global playlists and algorithmic recommendations, that is a tiny drop in the bucket.
Based on the site's data projections for an active user releasing consistently, the software pays for itself in roughly 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah. Even if you only have a catalog of 10 or 20 tracks and they pull in very modest daily streaming numbers, it compounds into a meaningful monthly revenue stream.
So what does this all mean? When you step back and look at the whole picture, Undetector isn't just a technical utility that cleans up messy audio.
It's not at all.
It's an end-to-end business model in a box for 39 euros. You find the acoustic blueprint with sound match. You generate the raw audio. You download the variations in bulk. You scrub the digital nutrition labels with the six-layer engine. You hit the exact LUFS master for Apple and Spotify, and you collect the fractions of a penny until they turn into real dollars.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the true value here isn't merely the low price point.
What do you think it is?
It's the psychological relief.
Oh, absolutely.
There are user testimonials in the source material that are incredibly telling. An electronic producer named Matt C. shared that before using this tool, every release felt like a gamble.
Because it was.
Right. Tracks would get flagged and pulled down randomly, and months of creative work would just vanish overnight. But after integrating this engine, his entire catalog stays online.
The sheer anxiety of checking your email every morning, terrified you're going to see a takedown notice from your distributor.
It takes a massive toll on a creator.
I can imagine.
Another user, Priya from Mumbai, uploaded 30 audio tracks to Spotify in a single month. Every single one passed the automated checks.
Wow. 30 tracks, zero issues.
Exactly. The real value of that 39 euros is the security of knowing that your distribution pipeline is finally stable.
You can actually focus on being a creator again instead of playing a miserable, stressful cat and mouse game with detection algorithms.
It gives producers the infrastructure to treat AI music generation not as a novelty, but as a reliable, scalable, and secure business.
All right, let's bring this all together. We've covered a massive amount of ground today.
You really have.
We tore down the six-layer artifact removal engine that acts as digital carbon dating, scrubbing the spectral and temporal fingerprints of AI.
Yep.
We explore the distributor-aware AI mastering that prevents transcode distortion and hits the exact LUFS targets for platforms like Spotify.
Crucial stuff.
We debated the ethics of SoundMatch, which lets you reverse engineer the acoustic blueprint of any song in the world. We looked at the Suno Bolt downloader for scaling your output.
And the money. Yeah.
And the money. Finally, we ran the numbers on the AI music earnings calculator, proving how that one-time 39-euro lifetime fee can pay for itself with just over 8,000 streams.
It is a remarkably comprehensive suite, clearly built by people who understand the specific friction points creators face when trying to take full ownership of their distribution.
It really is. But before we wrap up, this entire deep dive leaves me with one really provocative thought.
Let's hear it.
If tools like Undetector continue to evolve and successfully make AI tracks mathematically indistinguishable from human tracks,
yeah.
If the algorithmic scanners at the gates of Spotify literally cannot tell the difference anymore, where does that leave the streaming platforms?
The platforms will face an existential crisis. If the detection tools permanently fail, the value metric has to shift entirely.
Will they just have to give up?
Right.
Will streaming platforms eventually have to stop policing how music is made and instead strictly judge a song by whether human listeners actually want to hear it?
That's the logical conclusion.
I mean, if a track is an absolute banger and people have it on repeat in their cars, does it really matter to the listener if the initial sound wave was drawn by a neural network or a human hand?
As the technical barrier vanishes, human enjoyment becomes the only metric that matters.
And that is something for all of you to ponder as you fire up your next generation. Take a hard look at your own workflow. Consider how much friction, how much of that email checking anxiety could be removed with a lifetime tool that gives your music that mathematical poker face.
Definitely worth considering.
No more sweating at the algorithmic door. You just walk right in, hand your track to the listeners, and let the music speak for itself. Keep creating, keep pushing the boundaries, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.